It's a joy to have you with us. This morning, we celebrate Heritage Sunday, and we truly do have a rich heritage here of being the people called Methodist here in the Muncie community. Heritage Sunday is usually celebrated on the day closest to May 24th, which in our Methodist history is Aldersgate Day. That's the day in 1738 when John Wesley felt his heart strangely warmed. He had already been ordained an Anglican priest for 10 years. He was active in small groups in Oxford, where he started Bible moth clubs and Methodists. He had been on an unsuccessful mission trip to the colony of Georgia. And he was feeling a little rejected and a little down in the dumps, and he went reluctantly to Aldersgate Street, where a Moravian was sharing the words of Martin Luther's preface to the Book of Romans. And something in that worship service opened his heart. Something happened where he felt the Holy Spirit in a new way. And his life was forever changed. He was convicted that his sins had been forgiven and that God loved him. And so from then on, not only was his life changed, but our lives were changed as those who were followers of the Methodist movement from that moment on. I'm quite sure Wesley had heard Luther's preface before. He had been an active part in the Anglican Church. He was schooled in the scriptures by his mom from a very early age. But something different happened that evening. Something different happened that allowed the Spirit to work in Wesley in a new way, in a way that hadn't happened in his studies of the Bible or in the Anglican liturgy, which he found dull and lifeless. God hadn't changed. Jesus hadn't changed. The Spirit was the same Holy Spirit. But something in the way the message fit the context of that night changed his life and touched other lives. The reading from Acts this morning that Aline shared is a story about Paul reaching out to intellects and to philosophers in Athens, Greece. My brother just walked in. Oh, hi, Jerry. Oh, and there's my mom. And another brother. All right, back to the story. They probably are hoping that this will cut my sermon short. Paul had just been driven out of Philippi and Thessalonica, and now he was in a new and a different place. It was a different context and a different culture. But he uses that to his advantage. He delivers his proclamation, his message about Jesus Christ, dressed in Greek attire, using the philosopher's own words and relating to what they have and was acceptable to them. Paul understands their environment. They dwelt among many gods. The scripture says it's a forest of idols, yet they are open to learning. The Athenians are opening to hear the new thing that Paul has to say. And so they give Paul a hearing. Paul's task was to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, and he was comfortable adopting the message to his audience. Above all else, he was concerned that he be heard, that the audience understand him. So rather than just adding Jesus to the myriad of gods and goddesses already demanding the attention of the Athenians, Paul introduced Jesus as one before whom the entire world must give account. Standing on Mars Hills overlooking the temples and shrines of the Athenians, he tells them that the God of the universe can't be domesticated. God doesn't live in shrines made by human hands. God is not like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. God is greater than all of that. So what was the outcome of Paul's evangelism that day? Some laughed at him. Some wanted to hear more. And the book of Acts records that at least two that day became followers of the way. They became followers of Christ because of the proclamation of Paul. We can learn two things at least from this. First, that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and into the future. God is still and always will be supreme. But sometimes the medium of the message has to change so that others can hear and understand the truth. What worked for Paul in some places wouldn't work everywhere. What worked in Wesley's day still won't work today either. If we are careful to read the context, not everything we do today will be heard by all people. Cherished traditions that we love might still speak to us, but they don't always speak to a new generation or to a changing culture. There always needs to be a new and different way to share the good news if we ever want to have a hearing among all the people of our community. What worked 1,000, 150, or even 10 years ago won't work today. The other reminder out of this reading from Acts is that God doesn't dwell in shrines made of human hands. If you noticed in the archives presentation this morning, there was a lot of stories about our buildings, but there's also a lot about our ministry. There were pictures of laypersons and pastors who had an influence on how we became the church in a new day and time. Too often our history is always limited to bricks and mortars, but it really is about people. It's really about people that come together to share the good news about Jesus Christ, people in ministry, lay and clergy, people sharing their gifts, people sharing the good news in words and deeds. That's truly our heritage. That's really our strong foundation. The faithful people who have dared to live out their faith with devotion and grace so that others might see Christ. That doesn't just happen through one narrow experience, but it's offered through many and varied mediums. Today, we need to celebrate our heritage. We need to build on that strong foundation, but we also need to prayerfully discern how best to share the good news in a new day and age so that others will hear us and understand. All for God's glory. Amen.